the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Yes, hello folks, welcome to the weekly Manchester United show. I'm your host as always, Phil Brand, joined with my regular co-host, as always, Martin Warwick on the NBC Sports Podcast platform. Thanks to all of you who download the show, very, very much appreciated. Thanks to all of you who download it, leave reviews, share it and all that. Very, very much appreciated. Martin, so much to get through today, mate, as we've got a couple of days to go before the end of the window. Obviously, that's going to be a topic of discussion. We'll take a wee look back at the Leicester game sadly, somehow get through this international break. How's things, mate?
Yeah, mate, doing well. Doing well. How about yourself?
All good, mate. Yes, no complaints. Another 2-0 win at the weekend Mystic Walwick. Got it correct?
It. He did. Three for three on the year, mate.
He also, this needs to be said, saved my life on Saturday night from blowing myself up with a gas. I was a bit worse for a wear Saturday night watching the McGregor fight, trying to light a gas pit and sort of lost track of time, how long I had a lit flame beside the gas. If that thing ever had a caught fire, this would be a memorial show. So, and then I woke up Sunday morning, upside down in the bed. I have absolutely no idea how that happened. And so I assume, Martin Warwick, you slipped me a roofie because I don't remember... anyway.
Well, I can certainly, it's no surprise that you had no idea how you got to bed, I'll tell you that. you were certainly feeling no pain.
I don't exactly, but Sunday morning I can assure you I was feeling pain. when we were never that hungover when we were away, but I was hungover on Sunday morning, I can tell you, and it took a while before I felt okay. Yeah. So, all right, Martin, first of all, before we get into United at Leicester, let's talk a wee bit about the things that are making the news with United, of course, and the biggest one being Alexis Sanchez, where seems to be Manchester City are the front runners and going after his signature. United are also quite interested. Now, I want to talk about Alexis Sanchez because there's a lot of missing parts to this that aren't being considered. A lot of United fans want him. I understand why they would. He's a magnificent player. Would improve United. Will improve City. Finish the article. Will come in, score goals. And probably will win the league for whoever, if United or City sign him, or certainly give you a massive advantage. And I can also see why Pep Guardiola would be more than happy to sacrifice Raheem Sterling for him. For Guardiola, this season's the most important. Not what Raheem Sterling's going to become 2-3 years from now. But the other side of this, mate, for me, is this. Alexis Sanchez is a right-footed left winger. So you could play him on the right. But he's a guy whose natural instinct is to cut inside and shoot. You never have those players in abundance. They have that in Martial on the left. They have that in Rashford on the left. Do they give up on both those talents? And if they sign Alexis Sanchez, does that put an end to Antoine Griezmann and any possibility of him coming next season?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, look, you can look at it from a player of Alexis Sanchez's ability, undoubted ability, one of the world's best on his day. A player like that becomes available, and he's going to be available at a cut price rate, really, considering, you know, with no contract, no contract extension. In the climate, if you can get him for probably 40 million, I mean, it's a terrific piece of business. The concern I have, and you know, our other host on our other show, Danny, does disagree with us. To me, he seems all too quick to down tools. I look again at weekend. It's you're looking at a player that genuinely doesn't want to be at Arsenal. You can see that in the body language. But the tracking back, I mean, it doesn't strike me as a Jose player. I mean, for a wide man, we know what Jose likes in his wide man. He likes players that are going to defend as well. They're going to track. They're going to, you know, high intensity. Hence the reason, you know, we're caught in Perisic so much. Mm-hmm. That hard-working graft. He's certainly not a grafter. We know that. However, you know, he's a match winner. You know, and how many match winners can you go out there and get for 40 million? You know, I mean, you're seeing Liverpool dig their heels in over Coutinho, 120 million. You know, Dembele, the young boy, 140-odd million, Mbappe. These are genuine match winners, genuine game changers. Alexis Sanchez has done it, proven it in the Premier League, scored goals in abundance. But he just seems all too often he downs tools when things aren't going well. He's not a player that's going to, you know, drag the team on his back. If things are going well, it's going to be great. If things, you know, take a dip, that's where I question it. Will it affect Martial and Rashford? I mean, he's not going to be brought in to sit on the bench, is he? It's a tough one, but he's a wonderful talent, and it'd be very hard for me to turn him down if it was available.
If I'm Wenger and United come in for him, I would ask for Martial in exchange.
Well, I'd ask for Chris Smalling.
But he could arguably get.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, it is somewhat of a joke. I mean, but they're desperate for centre halves. Mustafi looks like he's on his way as well. It's Smalling. They were after Smalling last year.
They were after him when United sent him too.
Yeah. So I mean, I feel that if Jose Mourinho genuinely wants Alexis Sanchez, they're in with a 100% chance of getting him. You can offer him, but I don't think he will give up Martial. And I agree. The fact that City are going to offer Sterling, not a like for like, but positionally like for like. Mm-hmm. Let's see what Arsene Wenger's after, because let's be honest, attacking threat is not their problem.
You know, the thing is, Martin, if I'm Wenger, I ask for Anthony Martial because, look, he's young, he's French, he is an Arsene Wenger type player, let's be honest. And he would give you an immediate solution to the Alexis Sanchez problem. And if you get a good season out of Martial, you forget Alexis Sanchez very, very quickly. And for Arsenal, the potential resale value, everything, he suits them, Martin, right? I think he suits them more than Raheem Sterling does. And listen, there was a point over the summer where Mourinho was so frustrated with Martial, he told Woodward to go and swap him for Perisic if Inter, if that's what Inter really wanted. I don't know if he'd have went through with it, but that conversation was communicated. So I just wonder if there's a temptation on Mourinho to say, do you know what? Alexis Sanchez brings me something that's immediate that I'm trying to get out of Anthony Martial. This is why, look, when it comes to Pep Guardiola getting rid of Raheem Sterling and the criticism that comes with that about not developing players, maybe it's for criticism, but I also understand the enormous pressure that these guys are under to win right now. I guarantee if Pep Guardiola wins the league this year, nobody will talk about him getting rid of Iheanacho. Nobody will talk about him getting rid of Raheem Sterling. If they don't win the league, then these conversations start to pop their head up. The criticisms, they're going to look for reasons. They're going to look for things. It's all the end of the day about success, and that is the measure of whether someone's successful or not, not about how you develop players, although good coaches should develop players. But there's also responsibility in the player himself. And if a player himself doesn't apply himself, isn't smart, the standards are really high, then there's going to be a high turnover of young players getting booted out. And let's be honest, Martin, young players today, this is generally speaking, they don't have the same determination young players 20 years ago did, where they were desperate to make it. You take a look at the players that Guardiola had at Bayern Munich and at Barcelona. One big fundamental difference: those players came through the ranks at those football clubs. They were desperate to make it at Bayern Munich. They were desperate to make it at Barcelona. How desperate is Raheem Sterling to make it at Man City if you give him an out? How desperate is Anthony Martial to make it at United if you give him an out? So this is down to the players too.
No, I agree. I mean, with Martial, I mean, he started the season very, very well. Was Mourinho shopping him? I mean, is he giving him the little burst to see what he can do and maybe put him in the shop window a little bit? I don't know. But, you know, he started the season well. He's proven what he is capable of. I mean, it's a tough one for me. I mean, like you say, does Alexis Sanchez give you more at this point than giving up Martial? And then potentially, you know, Rashford drops out as well. It's a tough one.
Well,
it really is a tough one, unless you slide him onto the right. If you slide him onto Alexis onto the right hand side, or you slide Rashford onto the right, then Mata, Mkhitaryan, one of those gives way. Mkhitaryan, obviously, 5 assists already started the season. Fantastic. Well, most assists in Europe. So something's got to give. It's not the player that Jose was after, in that, you know, he wanted that wing back. We know he wanted the left-sided wing back, left-sided wide player to be able to play a 3-5-2. Well, Alexis Sanchez doesn't satisfy that for you. He doesn't give you an option on changing systems dramatically to play 3 at the back. Mm-hmm. So that's one consideration. But again, United's problem last year, scoring goals. He's going to bring goals to the squad. He's done it. He's done it season after season. And do you? It's just a lot. It's a lot to give up. Martial is a lot to give up for me, because we know. I think Martial's got a year or so in him. I don't know. I'm on the. I struggle with it because of what Alexis Sanchez brings. I think I even said last year on one of our shows that, you know, at that point I said I think he'd end up in the Northwest. I still think he will end up in the Northwest. It's just whether it's the red or the blue side.
Look, 53 goals and 104 appearances, 22 assists in the Premier League. That's a striker's return. That's an amazing return. That's it. That's a player in an Arsenal team, by the way. That in United, he would improve on those numbers. I think he's a player you sign, because I think Martin.
Is he a player you sign and give up a Martial for? I mean, I 100% is a player you sign. I don't know if he's a player you sign if it means giving up Martial.
Well, here's the thing. I remember when Fergie signed Varon, one of the things that he said is, you always find a place in your team for world-class players. You can never have enough of them. And so for me, I think, do you take Rashford and put him on the right? Rashford come off the bench at the weekend and started on the right.
Rashford can play, that's the beauty of Rashford, though. Rashford can play anywhere across that front three.
So if you've got Rashford on the right, all of a sudden, Martial and Alexis Sanchez are competing for the left. No, it's not. You're not overwhelmed with depth there. So for me, I think you want two good players, two class players for every position. You need to have that with Lukaku and Ibra. Rashford can play down the middle, so can Martial. There's flexibility there. Maybe if there's a criticism of United on the right, it's that the pace is lacking with Mata. Now you solve that problem. Sanchez, like I said, is a right-footed left winger, so he could play on the right too. Mm-hmm. So I think, the questions are, does Mourinho sign him and then give up on Griezmann? I think that very much depends on Martial's season this season. I think Mourinho would still like to sign Griezmann. And maybe United haven't given up on signing him in January. So much depends. Look, Atletico Madrid are moving into a new stadium. They could go through very similar problems that Tottenham are having. And that it takes a long time for that place to feel like home. The results start going. Simeone starts saying, you know what, I want out. And then the whole thing starts falling apart. And you know that that can happen very, very easily. So I just wonder if Mourinho's looking at that and saying the long-term solution to the problem on the left for him is Antoine Griezmann. We'll see what happens. Before we move on from Sanchez, anything else to add on him, mate?
Well, Gareth Bale.
I don't want him, Martin.
I know, I'm not saying I'm
take Sanchez over Gareth Bale 7 days a week.
I'm not saying I do or don't, but I wonder, and we don't know this, if there's ongoing talks, a Bale, a Griezmann, is there something in place 6 months, a year from now that's holding him back on signing somebody else? Maybe there is, you know, a deal in place, or maybe there's something in the works for later on down the line. But I don't know. I mean, I'd take Sanchez over Griezmann. I'd be honest
with you.
Because at this point, I take proven Premier League performances, proven Premier League goals over the unknown.
So would you take Sanchez over Bale?
I think Bale's lost a yard of pace.
The Gareth Bale 2-3 years ago, not a chance. The Gareth Bale who was at Tottenham, no way.
I think Bale's got too big.
Yeah.
Muscular. Yeah. I mean, he was visibly. He was huge when we. I couldn't believe how broad he was.
Yeah.
And since he's gone over there, it's been injury after injury, and I just wonder. You know, so much time in the gym. I mean, he's could be completely off base on this, but I mean, so much time in the gym, and it's whether it's had an adverse effect on him. He's stronger. He's more physical. I think he's lost a half a yard of pace, and he's his legs starting to fail him a little bit.
which is so key to Bale's game. And we see this a lot with very, very quick players. When they lose that yard of pace, we saw it with Torres when he lost that yard of pace. Obviously a different player to Bale, but pace being really, really important. Michael Owen, you see it with these really, really quick players. Whenever they lose that just a half a yard of pace, then completely changes their game. And for me, that was such a massive asset and attribute for Gareth Bale. To lose that yard of pace takes him out of that world-class category for me, class player.
But and don't get me mistaken, he's still an absolutely wonderful player. I think he's a great player to watch. I just feel there's just some cracks starting to appear in him, and I don't know the longevity on him at this point.
I just worry about him playing mentally, that gets injured every season. I think this is the problem we'll get to Phil Jones as well. How do you beat the mantle? You know, pain is such a subjective thing, right? Obviously, there's impact injuries that are impact injuries, and they're black and white. You get hurt, it's a recovery process. But there's muscle injuries that aren't so obvious, and we can get into this in a minute, where there's certain players that are always going to be injured every year because their response to certain tweaks in their body is always the same, and some players can play through the pain barrier, some people can't. And I think at a top club like United, where you want consistency in your lineup and you want to be able to build around a core 7, 8, 9 players every week, playing through the pain barrier is an absolute must. It also is an indication of desire. Let's look at a couple of other potential moves, Martin. Andres Pereira. So that's a fluid situation, right? Spoke to Pereira's people yesterday about it. Asked them, what's the situation? Does Andres have an agreement to go to Valencia? The response was, as of right now, that is not true.
No.
Joel Pereira will stay, which is good. Andres Pereira, that as of right now, that is not the case. He does not have an agreement to go to Valencia. Now, Andres Pereira wants to play. Andres Pereira wants to play on a regular basis. He played, I think, 35 games last season for Granada, and was probably the best player, and doesn't want to be in a team where he's most of the time not even in a squad. So Mourinho has assured him he'll play plenty of games this season. I worry for him if he leaves, in that you start to drift out of Mourinho's thinking. If you stay and you play 20 games a season, 25, and you play well in them, then you force your way into Mourinho's thinking, because then he starts to think about how to integrate you into a team. You can go to Valencia and play really, really well and still have a problem coming back to United and getting brought into that team. How do you fit into United's team? I think this is a make-or-break season for Pereira with regards to his United career. If he goes out on loan, I don't see Andres Pereira having a United career. If he stays and plays well in the games that he plays in, then he has a chance.
Yeah, he's, unfortunately for Pereira, I mean, he looked very good pre-season over here in the US. Obviously, we saw him 3 or 4 times. Looked very good. We thought, you know, good things were coming. And he's almost a victim of United's success. United have, you know, started the season very well. And I feel that if things didn't go quite as well at the start of the season, you may well have seen him in one or two of these games. Mm-hmm. With the attacking options, Mkhitaryan, Mata, those guys starting the season so well, and Matic coming doing a fantastic job from the get-go. Obviously, we saw Pereira in that deep-lying playmaker role on tour. So that kind of took that out of it too. So he's kind of been left in limbo. He's not made the bench yet, I don't think. You know, we got Stoke, you got Champions League game coming up after that, Everton coming. I mean, not until realistically the League Cup against Burton could you see him getting a look in. So you're talking almost a month down the line here, three weeks down the line. It's looking like for him, I mean, a loan, even if it's a short-term 6-month loan, is going to be the best case scenario for him right now to get game time to play. Jose spoke very, very highly of him, and I just go back to, I think he's just a victim of United's success early on here, and it's kind of left him in limbo. If he wants to play and play regularly, he's got to go out on loan. But like you say, if United have continue in this vein of form, you don't really see a way back for him.
Where would you play him? This is the problem. Who would you take out of the United team right now to put Pereira in there?
And that's exactly the point I was making. There's really no room to bring anybody in right now. I mean, you know, he's another option. He's another option, but as it stands, I mean, if we go to a more defensive lineup, you know, when we come up against some of the big boys and Herrera's drafted in, that means Mata or Mkhitaryan will drop out. So you know, that's one more attacking option being dropped to the bench. So that's, you know, no room in for him then. And on these out-and-out attacking days, you know, we've already got the likes of Martial or Rashford on the bench. Fellaini, you know, is a favourite for, you know, of Jose's. So I don't know. I mean, to me, he's still that attacking midfielder. I like him in that role. I like the way that he changes the pace of the game. He looks to make, rather like Rashford, every time he touches the ball, he looks to inject pace into the game. He looks to make something happen. Looks very, very comfortable on the ball. Very, very easy on the eye. But it's tough to see him. It's tough to see anybody breaking through other than that top 14 right now, maybe 15. After that, you know, at this point in the league, minutes are going to be very, very difficult to come by. They're going to have to rely on the League Cup, you know, and that's about it. That's about it, right? Early stages of the FA Cup. But are these players going to want to stick around knowing that that's really going to be their only opportunity?
Well, I think what it also does is the players that are, you know, do I feel injured? Do I not? You better not. So you better play through that knock, because you might never get back into this team. For the players that when you get your chance, you don't get the sulk. You don't get the, I'm not happy that I'm not starting. One of the things that we've seen with United teams over the last few years, players not taking chances when they're given them, and they're sulking, I don't feel the best today, boss, I feel injured. Constant rotation of the squad. Now you're in a position, if you're a United player and you get a sniff at that first team, you better take your chance, because you may not get back in that team. That's what the great United teams in the past had. Mm-hmm. So I think for the French players, Andres Herrera, who hasn't started, he hasn't started in these three games because United have dominated possession in all three games and didn't need another defensive midfielder.
Yeah, you'll see. I would imagine you'll see that change probably against, you know, maybe against Everton, maybe even against Stoke away.
Yeah,
Herrera's going to come into them games when we don't have as much possession. So Herrera, I don't worry about. Herrera's going to be somewhat of a role, and there's going to be different teams for different games, just exactly like Fergie did it. You know what I mean? There's games for specific people. Well, and the best part about Herrera, and Jose said this in his post-match, he looks across at the bench and Herrera's barking orders. He's up screaming orders. I mean, he's a player, man. He's a manager's player. He gets it. He loves the environment and understands the roles. There'll be plenty of time for him.
He's fantastic, Martin. He's been in and out anyway. He was in and out of Van Gaal's teams as well. And so, very, very important player for United last season, of course, because they didn't have a Matic, and showed that he can play that role when he's asked, as we showed so wonderfully against Chelsea at home last season. The other things are, of course, the other player that's been linked with United quite a bit, and I don't think there's any substance in this whatsoever, is Mahrez and Lamar. With Thomas Lamar, so the link came from Duncan Castles. Right? Duncan Castles has long since surrendered his journalistic objectivity. Duncan Castles is a paid PR agent of Jester Fute, in my opinion. When you've got a guy that his pieces are driven by whoever Jose Mourinho works for and whoever George Bendis's clients are, it's very difficult to look at that and say this is something that is based on fact. This is something that's based on information that's been fed to Duncan. Nothing against him personally, but Duncan has claimed that United are interested in Thomas Lamar. And clearly that's been fed to him by, in my opinion, some of the people that I've just mentioned. But this can work two ways. There can either be truth in this, or it can be a very deliberate planted story where there's no truth in it to activate interest from other clubs. And of course, agents use journalists for this type of information all the time. So I haven't been able to corroborate United's interest in Thomas Lamar with a single individual. Nobody has said yes. That's not to say that there isn't information. It isn't factual, but I don't know anyone else that's backed it up. Nobody, Martin. Some of the people we talk to, and they've come back to us and said, I don't know nothing about it. And
yeah, nothing.
So I don't think there's anything in the Thomas Lamar thing. And Monaco will always sell for the right price. Everybody knows that.
It's crazy. I mean, they stand to make something in the region of 300 million in this transfer window alone. And just crazy. And they will keep going.
They've been Martin. They've already got 180 million booked next season for Kylian Mbappe, right? And so when that move has to go through, and so they just keep developing, sell, develop, sell, develop, sell. So the other one, of course, being Riyad Mahrez. Martin, you talk about a down tools merchant.
Yeah, and I tell you what,
amazingly talented player, but no.
Yeah, but and what's funny is if you watch the game this weekend, watch it back from the very, very start. First one out for warm-ups, giving it the old juggling, comes out on his own, all energy, you know, shopping himself on the biggest stage in world football. I mean, and look, he's had a good start to the season. At times, first couple of games, he's looked back to his very best. I mean, on another one, on his day, all the talent in the world. But, you know, it's Phil Jones and Eric Bailly had him in his pocket. It's just, doesn't look interested to be there. Wants the bigger move. I don't know. I mean, I don't know where. Clearly, the big clubs are seeing this because, you know, there's no offers in for him. Was it Roma? Roma offered. I think Roma wanted him, right, for about 30 million or something. And Leicester think they can get 50 or 60. I don't know if someone's going to pay 50 or 60 for a player that seriously is deemed to down tools and is deemed to go missing for long periods. I mean, last season he was poor.
That would concern me that only Roma's in for him. So we'll see what happens there. Mahrez, no way. I wouldn't want him at United.
Nah.
I think United have better players there. He doesn't bring anything to United. He's a very, very good player.
He's a luxury player. I mean, he's another one. He's an Arnautovic. One in a dozen.
Yeah.
You know, and on his day looks world beater. Just doesn't do it regularly enough. And again, like Sancho, the work rate is an issue for me.
The other thing is, Oxlade-Chamberlain's going to go to Chelsea. He's going to make more money than Eriksen, Dele Alli, and Danny Rose combined.
Combined, right?
Don't tell me that those players are staying at Tottenham next season. No way. Not a chance.
Well, here's what I'll say about Oxlade-Chamberlain. And this is genuine. This is not meant mean-spirited. I'm not taking the piss here. He's been in the league, what, 6 years now? Five, 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's any good, and I don't know what position he plays.
Well, and this is
because I don't know, and that says it all about the boy.
To me, Martin, that's one of the biggest criticisms of Arsene Wenger. Why did Walcott not develop? Why did Wilshere not develop? Why did Oxlade-Chamberlain not develop? Why Aaron Ramsey's progress seems to have stopped? Rob Holding's not, you know, Rob Holding looks exactly what he is—a cheap signing from a lower league club. But why are Arsenal players not developing? That used to be one thing. Hector Bellerin maybe is the exception, and even then, Bellerin was at fault at the weekend for at least one of the goals. And to me, I've never been on board with him being one of the best fullbacks in the league, good defender. But
he lives off his speed.
But to me, I think, you know, we can get into that later. But the point here is, when United are looking at recruitment, Martin, one of the most damaging things that United have had to do is undo bad signings. They've had to get rid of Schneiderlin. They've had to get rid of Depay. They've had to get rid of Schweinsteiger. They've had to get rid of so many players. Falcao, De Maria, players that just United didn't scout properly, didn't look at properly.
Paid over the odds and paid ridiculous sums in wages, which made them difficult to remember. In the case of Schneiderlin, it was didn't really get much of a run in the team, but when he did, didn't do anything to warrant it. So,
and Schneiderlin, United crying out for defensive midfielder. He should have been last season. He should have got himself in the United team and stayed in there. It was clearly
could have made that position his own.
Clearly, something that prevented him from getting that position, something Mourinho didn't like about him. But anyway, so they're being much more careful about who they sign and why. And Mourinho, if you look at Mourinho's signings from last season, Mkhitaryan were only starting to see the best out of. Pogba were starting to see the best out of it. It's in their second season, right? These are really, really good signings. Baye, oh my God, he's immense. He's sensational. He's a brilliant, brilliant defender. Absolutely magnificent defender. Ibrahimovic was an overwhelming success. 28 goals in his first season. Mourinho buys properly, Martin. He knows exactly what he wants. He's decisive. He knows exactly what he wants from his, from these players and who fits his model, who that model is clearly very successful in the Premier League. So United will be looking at the recruitment with an eye on next season as well, saying, well, over the next 12 months, these certain players are going to become available. So how does that affect how we go about our business this summer? Mourinho's already said he could possibly defer the fourth player to next summer. I think United know that Mourinho is secure in his job, unlike Van Gaal. So it was very difficult to plan a year ahead with Van Gaal or Moyes, because you couldn't. Mourinho has that security now where United can look ahead a year and say, our manager isn't going to change, and we're confident that this guy's the right guy for us next season. And look, 12 months is not that far away.
Yeah, I think you're starting to see why Jose Mourinho is historically so good, or his teams are so good in the second season. He comes in, he rights the ship, or he gets what he wants, and he clears out the dead weight and organises back room and to every little pinpoint thing in the club. He gets it to the point where he wants it. He sacrifices a little bit in his first season. And then second season, it starts to all come together. You look back at last season. We won our first three games last season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, morale was good. The feeling amongst the fans was good. One defeat, you know, City at home, we get beat. A dreadful first half display. You know, one which Lingard and Mkhitaryan get dragged off after 45 minutes. You know, Mkhitaryan took a long time to recover from that. Now look how he started this season. You know, Mkhitaryan on fire. We win our first three games, but it's got a different feeling about it this year. You know, the first three games of last season, you know, yes, we won them. Not the greatest, you know, not the top opposition, rather like this year, but there is a different feel. There's a different mentality. There's a different feeling around the club. There's a different feeling in the stands. It looks like we're looking forward, and I don't believe for one second if the next game, you know, brings an unfortunate defeat, I don't think this is the same team that, you know, heads drop and it's panic stations. You saw that against Leicester when Lukaku misses the penalty.
Yeah.
I think last year we missed that penalty and then the crowd starts groaning and you can feel the tension in within, you know, the atmosphere. And I think you see that, you know, the players start to react to that and start panicking. There was no panic. There was no panic at all. It was, all right, retreat, let's go again. And the goal will come. You know, it's a different feeling. Although the statistics will tell you the same thing at this point in the season, this is a different season, this is a different team, and this is now becoming Jose Mourinho's team.
Look, Mkhitaryan is a perfect example of this. Mourinho said, Mkhitaryan now knows exactly what I want from him. And he knows what I'm like, knows exactly what he has to deliver on the pitch. This is a United team that has learned from some of the problems that they experienced last season. The reason why they lost against City, they've already learned from. The reason why they then went out and lost the next game against Watford, they've already learned from. Luke Shaw cost United a goal in that game. That's not going to happen again. Luke Shaw already knows that he can't get away with those things. This is a United team 12 months on that looks much more like a Mourinho team, where the players know exactly what's expected of them. He's bringing in his own players, and the players that are on the fringes now know nobody's safe. Your career at United is not safe if you do not do what Mourinho says. He's cleared out Wayne Rooney, right? He's cleared out Schweinsteiger, Schneiderlin, a World Cup winner, right? He doesn't care who you are. This is the way it is. You don't do it, you're out. The pie, gone, right? So Mourinho deserves enormous credit and his consistency in applying the standards across that whole team. Doesn't matter who you are. If you listen to Mourinho, you will improve. Phil Jones has improved as a player. Rojo has improved as a player. If you listen to him, he will develop you. He'll make you a better player. I thought Ander Herrera had one of his best seasons at United last season. This is what Martial must learn. Listen to Mourinho, you will learn. You will become a better player. So for me, I think Mourinho, this is a United team that's starting to resemble Jose Mourinho and his image. Look, you're bang on, Martin. When you looked at Lukaku missing that penalty, last season United didn't trust the talent in that squad to create more chances. And then there was a psychological issue of, we always concede. We always give a stupid goal away. Or we'll pepper a team and not score. And you ask Mkhitaryan after the game, what's different about last season? Oh, confidence. They now know, they now expect to score. They expect to create opportunities. They're punishing teams who are now getting faced with a dilemma of, do we go out and open up against Manchester United? Because if we do, they'll do what they did to Swansea. If you give United room, they'll hurt you. The other thing for me, Martin, is Mkhitaryan's equaled a record in the Premier League. It's a 22-year record of the most assists in the first four or five games. What is it? I've got my notes here. A 23-year-old record, five assists in three games.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that you see with Mkhitaryan, he's occupying the positions that Rooney was occupying, right? Right in behind the striker, right? He's coming off the wing and he's playing that free role right in behind. And he's really, really hard to pick up. But he's quicker. He's a much than Rooney. He's much quicker thinking. United defender, really, really hard to integrate playmakers in that squad. Going back to Veron. Really, really hard to get that player. Kaga where they couldn't fit in. But Mkhitaryan, second season, with much more movement up front. And of course, having Pogba, who is looking like the player United signed, who's looking magnificent, and Maddison behind him. That United team that trusts their attacking talent, that they're going to create more opportunities.
Yeah, with that lineup they start with, I mean, maybe not so much Martial, but Rashford in particular, and Mkhitaryan and Mata, there's a fluidity in that three behind Lukaku. I mean, you've seen Rashford slide over onto the right, and it's a nice problem to have because, you know, you've got Mata on one side, you know he's not going to beat the man for pace down the line. So one fullback has got to worry about the creativity and the movement with the other side. With Rashford, you've got to worry about the raw pace. When Rashford's capable of switching over onto the right-hand side and everybody's slid across, you've seen Mata and Mkhitaryan interchanging in that 10 role just behind. And they're very difficult to pick up. And Mkhitaryan, he's been brilliant. I mean, he's been absolutely superb. And he, for me, probably one of the players who really does hold the key because he's capable of getting a dozen goals, but he's really capable of making things tick and changing tempos and finding those little pockets of space. And the threat we have now is from all sides of the pitch and from deep on the pitch too. It's not just the, you know, if Zlatan doesn't perform, if Zlatan doesn't score, then where are the goals coming from? You know, we've proved here 10 goals, three games, bunch of different goal scorers. That bodes pretty well for us moving forward here. Rashford, great to see Rashford get off the mark there. What looks like a tap-in is far from it for me. If you watch his run, I mean, it's a little two-yard sprint and then a half-yard check that gives him that half a yard of space. And that ball came at him pretty quickly and very, very confident contact and a nice finish. And then Fellaini's 30-yard volley, you know, off his knee.
Listen,
Fellaini, what if we scored? Six goals when Fellaini's been on the pitch. It's one of those strange stats that really doesn't mean anything. But no, I mean, he trusts Fellaini. Fellaini's coming on late in games, and he's not being thrown on late in games to go and get us a game win. He's not being thrown on late in games so far to go and protect Leeds. And God help us if he does. He adds dimension there. He has that physicality, and the ball can be lumped into him if he plays a little higher and it sticks. You know, it can hold the play and he can slow the play down for us late in games. And there's a trust level. And we spoke about this, didn't we, over the last season and a half. There's a trust with him. And, you know, Fellaini, say what you want about him, but he's a selfless player and he plays for the team. You know, we know what his limits are. We know what he can do and we know what he can't do. But what he does do very well is go out there and execute what the manager is asking of him. And takes away from anything, you know, that he thinks he is or people think of him. He goes out there and executes what the manager wants. It's a great squad player, a great team player, and a players that managers want.
This is a United team that can beat you so many different ways. United couldn't do that last season. One of the things that with Ibrahimovic, you know, if you read the game, if you look at Ibrahimovic on paper, 28 goals, amazing return. But there's so much you don't see. And Ibrahimovic is not the most mobile of forwards. He's not lightning quick. He quite a good finisher. So the difference with Lukaku is, and his movement's not perfect, but he's much more mobile. He's strong. He bullies defenders, and he is much more of a target for a Mkhitaryan or a Mata or any of these players who have a moving target. Where Ibrahimovic, oftentimes when Yeti would break, Ibrahimovic would be behind the play because he didn't have the speed to catch up. So you'd often see Rashford or you'd see Martial out wide cutting in, and there's nobody in the box because Ibrahimovic didn't have the pace to catch up. Now with Pogba in behind, Lukaku doesn't need to drop. So now Lukaku stays on the last man. And Pogba, Martin, my God, how good does Paul Pogba look? I must say, just watching him with Matic in behind, it's like watching a totally different player playing in a position he was supposed to be brought, he was supposed to be played in. Paul Pogba, for my money, God, I pray he doesn't get injured. Paul Pogba will be whatever he wants. He has the potential to be a Ballon d'Or winner. Ronaldo and Messi are in their 32, 31, 32. Someone's going to take the mantle. Paul Pogba has the potential to be a Ballon d'Or winner. We have a Ballon d'Or winner, in my money, in his prime, dictating United's midfield. He is sensational, Martin. He's so good. He is so good. So that is exciting. There's so much variety in this United team that they can beat you in so many different ways. Beat you, but Rashford comes on, scores the life of the defenders. You know, we saw it against Real Madrid whenever he was brought on, puts defenders on the back foot, runs at you with pace. Yes, there's certain parts of his game that need improving, but he's 19. Mata, you're, as you said, not lightning quick, but silky, right? Creates all the time, always puts something onto somebody's toe, onto somebody's head, wrongfully in my money. Had a goal just late at the weekend. A Mkhitaryan, not lightning quick, but brilliant, really smart footballer, great brain. And then even Valencia on the right-hand side gets forward, puts decent balls in the box. So many different players in this United team that can hurt you. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you a question. Is there anything that would concern you in this United team? I will answer that question, and then I want to hear your opinion on it. Mm-hmm. Only thing that concerns me about this United team right now, two things, sorry. We've just said about Valencia pushing on. United don't really get that option on the left-hand side. Nobody from the left-hand side pushes on in the left wing-back position and gives United an outlet out wide, which I think is really, really important for any left-winger to play well, to have a confident left-back in behind them that they can trust. The other thing is if Matic was to get injured.
Yeah, Matic for sure. Considering how well he's starting and what he brings, I think you with Matic, you see what we've been missing. You see what a dominant holding midfield can bring you, and it's not so much that he's such a great player and he does all these unbelievable things, but it's just showed us what we've been lacking. Put him in there, that gets the best out of other players. It's not just what he does, it's what he does for others. And, you know, the shackles are off Pogba, you know. Having Matic in there has allowed us to put Mata, Mkhitaryan, Rashford, Lukaku, all in the same team. You know, I mean, it's just a wealth of options to be able to go and attack. Take him out of there, and there is a concern. Especially if you take him out of there against one of the top four, top five, top six teams. I think that's a position that's going to be addressed. Maybe not until next summer, but I would like to see somebody brought in there. Carrick, obviously he's not played yet, can do a job, but it would take Carrick and Herrera combined to do the job that Matic is doing. So that is not an area of concern so much, but certainly, you know, something that needs to be noted. The left side is a little bit unbalanced, like you say, with the left side not being able to really push on, and delivery. I mean, the one thing I've been slightly disappointed about is not so much from from corner kicks, not beating that first man, although we got the goal from it this weekend. Delivery from wide areas, I think, has been poor. And that is something that certainly needs to improve because we've got so many weapons in the box. But I'm of the opinion that, you know, I know Jose talks about the aerial threat of Lukaku, but I look at the majority of the goals Lukaku gets, and, you know, it's balls out in front of him, balls in and around the box. I think he scores a lot of his goals from that area, not so much ball's whipped in the box, headed finish. Yes, he's a wonderful header of the ball. But I think it's his pace and his power and his strength that are his main attributes. But if there's one thing that stands out to me, it's certainly deliveries, set pieces and deliveries from wide areas.
Yeah, now United players with the year left on their contract, the vast majority of those have a renewal clause. Actually, Young has essentially asked United to renew his contract for another year. He's up. The renewal for Luke Shaw is just they've triggered the 1 year option, so it's not a new contract. They've just triggered the option, which would be an ominous sign if I was Luke Shaw. That to me is essentially United protecting their interest with Shaw and then giving him a dilemma and saying, and an ultimatum and saying, either you deliver or we'll happily sell you. And so for me, Luke Shaw, biggest season of his United career this season, no question. The other ones, of course, they're all, vast majority of whom will stay. And I think, you know, probably won't see any more outgoings between now and the end of the window. Do I think United will send anyone between now and the end of the window? Honestly, I'm not sure, but they're certainly still trying. The other players that are on that list are Fellaini, Mata, Blind, Shaw, Herrera, Pereira, Young. All of those will get contract renewals.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to Ashley Young being fit. I think in this system, I've always liked Ashley Young. I think Ashley Young, again, I said it a couple of weeks ago, he's the best deliverer of a ball, best crosser of a ball at the club.
Probably,
And, you know, on that left flank, he can play left back, he can play left wing, he can play left wing back. So he may actually have found himself a position here kind of by chance, really. So I'm kind of looking forward to him coming back. It gives us a little bit of an option, a little bit of depth on that left-hand side. Luke Shaw, you know, if he's played a couple of games now for the reserves on the 23s. So international break, which tells me by, you know, by the 9th, by September 9th, he should be almost fully fit. So I would think sometime early September here, we're going to get a look at Luke Shaw. He might get a nod in the squad there, and let's see, because it might not be a big season for him. It might be a big month or two.
Yeah. Phil
Jones. It's funny thing with Phil Jones. You know, the ability's never been in question for me. I know both of us, and I kind of got slated on social media a little bit, saying, oh, well, you know, now you're saying he's a great defender, but you were saying get rid of him. Mm-hmm. Look, I was only saying they probably should, just because of the injury. If he can't stay fit, he's no use to the club.
Yeah.
You know, three or four games at the start of the season, then out for another three or four. It doesn't do us any good, because we're seeing right now a fully fit, well, he's not even fully fit actually, he's apparently carrying this ankle injury, but a fully fit Phil, there's your preferred centre-back partnership right there. It's Bailly and Phil Jones. It was on tour. They read each other very well. They play off each other very, very well. If he can stay fit, that is a wonderful partnership. Phil Jones, and the difference I've seen in Phil Jones this season from the start of the summer tour, he's not putting himself in positions where he's crawling around the ground trying to head a ball off people's feet. Not jumping into silly challenges at silly angles. You know what I mean? We've seen so many of these bizarre challenges. He got himself tied up. He got himself in situations where his body was getting injured because of positions he was tackling at, angles he was tackling at, angles he was going into challenges at. I think we're seeing a smarter Phil Jones, a Phil Jones that's reading the game better, and he's not relying on last-ditch tackles anymore. Maybe it's having Bailly with him. And, you know, I go back, I've said this on the show for over a year now. It does not necessarily have to be your best two players at centre-half. It has to be the best partnership. And you know, that's what it's come down to. Centre backs are a partnership. If you play with a back three, it's a three. You have to read each other. If one of those players, you know, doesn't fit there, then you both look terrible. It leaves you wide open. These two clearly have a bond. They clearly play off each other very, very well. And maybe that's the reason that Phil Jones isn't getting himself in these positions. But I did think it was interesting that, you know, for Jose to come out and say he's carrying this ankle injury. Now, last season, he was openly slating him and Smalling for not playing through the pain barrier, you know, and now all of a sudden he is playing through the pain barrier. There's a mentality switch And maybe Jose's making a point of that. You know, hey, look, you play through the pain barrier. You know, you show me that you want to be. You show me you don't want to lose. And look at the form he's in. They're just gonna have to really, you know, wrap him up in cotton wool, and that he's gonna have to spend a lot of time in the treatment room, preventative, after games, after sessions, which Jose said. And we'll take it from there. But just hopefully he manages a little run in the side where he can stay healthy and keep it. He's had something like 36 different injuries in his United career. It's just a frightening amount of injuries. That's the only reason last year I was like that he could be on the chopping block. Never any question about the guy's ability. This is what Sir Alex Ferguson saw. This is the Phil Jones that Sir Alex Ferguson saw.
All right, here's my concern with Phil Jones. When we talk about not getting carried away, I think there's something you shouldn't get carried away with. I think the three games he netted have played this season, West Ham at home, dominated possession. Leicester at home, dominated possession. Swansea away, you know, they started with five at the back and they had a dominated possession. There was a couple of times in that game where Phil Jones, I felt, looked a bit dodgy. I think against West Ham, Leicester, Swansea, it's a perfect start for Phil Jones to find form and not get exposed. I think, would I have trusted Phil Jones if United had started away to Liverpool and away? No. Because I think he struggles against pace. And I think the very, very best strikers in the league at this moment in time, I am concerned, because I always feel like there's a mistake in him. Look, for 70% of your games throughout a season, Phil Jones is fine. Not a problem. There's a certain part of these games and the top games that I'm not convinced yet. The other part of it is, he's playing with Bailly. They're both right-footed. This is why Rojo plays so well with Bailly. Rojo's left-footed. That concerns me too, to have two right-footed centre-backs. So, you know, both Bailly and Phil Jones have played right-back at times in their career. I think when Rojo gets fit, United need and will play a left-footed right-back. So I think... that is maybe a concern. A left-footed centre-back, sorry. Yeah, that's a concern to me.
To me, I think a left-foot and a right-footed pairing is an ideal. And I don't think it's an absolute necessity. I'd rather see the best two players, the best partnership play there, regardless, left, right, or whatever. Not by any means comparing the two, because it's way too early and with the risk of sounding stupid.
Never worried about that before.
I was going to say, which happens
more often. A bit late for that.
Bruce and Pallister. Bruce doesn't have the pace, relies on Pallister for the pace.
Yeah.
There's the aggression. I see a little bit of that in this partnership, in that Bailly can cover the pace, you know, and Phil Jones becomes your Steve Bruce. That's just an example of, you know, of tactically how that's covered. So pace, yeah, for Phil Jones, but I think if you've got a Bailly with him, if you don't have a Bailly with him, Chris Smalling doesn't have the pace there, Rojo doesn't have the pace there, that would be a concern. I think that partnership plays well off each other because of the attributes that one have and the other doesn't have, play well together.
Look, Martin, Phil Jones, I pick over Chris Smalling every time. No problems. No question about it. Phil Jones, you know, Chris Smalling makes me incredibly nervous. I always feel like there's a gaffe coming any second. So something really stupid coming any second. An own goal coming, a sending off, or Chris Smalling falling asleep. Something stupid is going to happen any minute. There's a guy that never developed, in my opinion. Should have been, you know, when he was leaving Fulham, everybody was after him. So for me, I take Jones there. But I think ideal pairing is Bailly and Rojo. Martin, Eric Bailly is so far and above and beyond United's best defender, it's ridiculous. The guy is pure silk, magnificent defender. He's quick, he's strong, he handles all types of centre forwards. He is... for me, doesn't get anywhere near enough credit. But Eric Bailly, I wouldn't swap Eric Bailly for any defender in the league. I wouldn't swap David De Gea for any goalkeeper in the world. I wouldn't. Honestly, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about all the top defenders around the world. Who would I swap Bailly for? There's people on his level, but I wouldn't swap him for anybody. I think Eric Bailly is just simply a magnificent player. I think he's Rafael Varane level or maybe above.
And a player who's only going to get better. I think the beauty of him is he's got a bit of Ferdinand in him because he's comfortable on the ball, but he's got a lot of Vidic in him because he's hard as nails.
Yeah.
He's going to back down from nobody. He's strong in the tackle, a front foot defender. If there's one slight concern with him is he does get a little bit anxious going for that ball, a little high up the pitch sometimes and gets caught in behind. But that's a tactical adjustment that, you know, I'm sure Jose doesn't need me to tell him about that. They'll be addressing, but he's very much a front foot defender. Has got the pace, he's got that recovery speed, which is always a huge asset to have. Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a mainstay at United centre back position for years and years to come here. And whether it be a Phil Jones, whether it be a Rojo, you know, the other thing is we've yet to see how Rojo's going to come back from that injury. I mean, very rarely do people come back from that injury, and you know, certainly not a better player, but even on the same level. Modern medicine, though, I mean, you know, you can never really count anything out. It's just incredible what they bring these guys back from now.
I'm amazed that someone like Barcelona were in for Bailly. When you look at them spending a fortune on the likes of Umtiti, how could you not turn around and look at Villarreal, centre-back, that guy's class, go after him? I don't know, but it's terrible scouting to me. Folks, we'll go ahead and leave it there. You got anything to add, Martino, before we say adios?
No, just it's that miserable time of year now where we have to endure the international break. I think congratulations really to Fosu Mensah, who gets a call up.
Yes.
First call up to the national team, that's good to see. Just hope that all our boys come back healthy and we can hit it hard when we come back, Stoke away, and then we're into the Champions League.
This is the worst.
It's horrible.
International break of the whole season. You just get the season back and then bang. I mean, I detest international football. I'm sorry. I can barely bring myself to watch it.
I don't know why. I mean, I just cannot wait for the mighty Malta against England. I mean, I'm going to be edge of my seat. I'm planning my Friday around it.
Ireland. There was a feature on ESPN last night. I think it was ESPN, where it showed you the groups. I had no idea where Ireland was in the groups. If there were second or what points totally, I can barely bring myself to watch it. And who they're playing, Ireland, Northern Ireland, Faroe Islands and Freddie, there's a fix to the stop of press for.
That's the problem with these international, well, for the most part we know who's qualifying from these groups, right. And it's just, you know, the season just gets going and you've missed football for so long and then it's taken away, it's like, oh. But anyway, let's hope they all come back fit, and then a rainy day in Stoke.
Yes, everyone come back fit and no injuries. That's perfect. And hopefully United are ready for Stoke and possibly another signing in between now and the end of the window. We'll see what happens. I still have a sneaking suspicion that it will do something. And I think we'll get a busy last day of the window. I think the next 2 days are going to be very busy, Martin, between all the clubs.
Absolutely. But I think the beauty of this time is it's not a desperation sign. It's not, nope. You know, there's nothing there that's absolutely glaring. And, oh my, if we don't bring in this person right now, we're in trouble. We're in a good place. I think anything else would be a bonus at this point. And there's nothing crying out that we absolutely have to bring in at this point. Like I say, it'd be a bonus if we get that extra one that he wants. It may well be something completely out of left field that we don't even.
That wouldn't surprise me either. Surprise me if it is something completely out of left field.
And that's something United and Wood would have done a lot better off in the last couple of years, really keeping that stuff under wraps.
Definitely a lot better this season. And, you know, they see how far United have come from the last minute panic stations of Fellaini.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, go ahead and leave it there. Thanks to all of you who download the show. If you're on Facebook, I remind you to please like the Beyond the Pitch Facebook page. Very, very important. That's one of the best ways you can support the show. If you download the show on iTunes, positive reviews, always appreciated. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter as well, at Beyond the Pitch, and you can follow myself and Martin. Martin's at MWallwork. MWallwork7, right? Or is it MWallwork?
At MWallwork7.
MWallwork7. Follow my comrade here. And you can, of course, follow me at Malakans. Thanks to all of you folks who download the show. Very, very much appreciated. We will catch you again next week. And we will actually be doing, if you're about, download our show on Thursday with Danny Higginbotham, which is always well worth a listen. And Thank you for tuning in, folks. Martin, all the best, mate.
All the best, mate. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it. Bye now.